Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on yet another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I, of course, am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I'm going to bring to you some amazing guests today. And one of those guests has been here before, blew us away before, and you're really going to enjoy speaking to him. But before I introduce all of our guests, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. Find someone who is not watching the show, who is not participating, not learning, and introduce them to the Roundtable Talk Show, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're doing that, I want to go ahead and introduce our first guest, Mr. Sir Amazing. He is a motivational speaker. He's an accountability coach, a podcast talk show host, and author of Everyone Needs a Hero. Why Can't It Be You? So, Sir Amazing, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am blessed and motivated. I'm excited to see you. It's been a really long time, so thanks for having me back on. And I'm excited to meet these new beautiful faces I'm looking at as well.
Yes, thank you for returning. If you know, I always tell people now, at 44, my memory is not what it used to be. But if memory serves me, you came on a matter of days right before you released your book, correct? Like it was coming up, and then you started promoting, and you started doing different things. So how did that go for you?
It went really well. Actually ended up being a bestseller on Amazon. And even with everything that's going on in the world, I've gotten a lot of great reviews. So it's perfect time, and I'm excited to discuss some other projects that have sprung up since then.
Okay, we're going to talk about some of those other projects, but one of the reasons why I love return guests is just really just to see their projection. You see where they were as a new author into where you are now, because that was April. It's basically November now. What are some of the things that you learned, some of the things that you would have done different in your first book?
Oh, that is a great question to ask.
I do try.
I don't know if I would do anything differently. Mm-hmm. I would just say going forward, I'm excited to speak more about the journey because a lot has been learned since writing the book, which was early this year. A lot has changed. COVID, social injustice, personal reflection. So I think I don't necessarily say it was anything I would change. It would just be more, I just look forward to sharing more of the knowledge that I've gained since releasing it.
Okay, sounds interesting. Now we're going to talk a little bit about more about your projects, but we are going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Karen Kahn. Dr. Karen Kahn is a leading figure in the maker education movement and a pioneer in online learning, launching one of the first global e-learning classrooms in 2002 with funding from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Good. Good morning. Good morning, everybody out there. Good morning, Sharifa and guests. It's nice to be here.
It is nice to have you. E-learning. Now, it's funny because we talk about all of the pivots. Like, that's the word that nobody ever used before in their life. I've never said I pivoted before COVID, but now everything I do is evolved around pivoting. I pivoted my business, everything pivot. But e-learning, classrooms, the whole process is completely different than even 2019. Tell us a little bit about e-learning and what you do.
Well, a little bit about e-learning. There's so many aspects to it and so many ways to speak about it. But I think the reason that I came on today was to say to parents and maybe the entrepreneurs that are out there that I feel that we're at the beginning of something pretty amazing. Now, I thought that way back when I was first involved in launching a global e-learning network in 2001, 2002. And what was really cool about that was that I was able to use technology developed by the Massachusetts Department of Education. It was $20 million technology developed for teachers to create global classrooms, and nobody knew what to do with it. Isn't that crazy? And I had this idea to, after 9/11, to create a forum for children around the globe to talk about how do we get what we need through nonviolent means. So, you know, fast forward to today, people are being forced to go online and create classrooms, where back then that was a very new idea. But there's still a lot of uncertainty about how we go forward with it. And you're not in New York City, but you may be aware that New York City is trying to open classrooms. They have open classrooms, but they're opening and closing depending on the pandemic situation. If there's a certain percentage of COVID, then things have to close down and then children are forced to go online. What I have noticed and what is really amazing and is part of my program is that parents are becoming more involved in their children's learning. Now, I've been in physical classrooms for years too. And the thing about schools is often teachers operate in closed environments. You don't see what goes on when that door shuts in the classroom. And now today, parents are able to see everything that's going on. And you know, I won't ramble on right now, but if I speak a little bit more about my program lately, I'll tell you why I see that as being integral to children's education, especially for children who are in poorer communities and have less access to resources. I think that more and more resources are going to come to these communities.
Why are you so passionate about e-learning?
I'm passionate about it because it connects people in ways that you can't do in physical spaces. For example, I've worked in New York City schools for a long time in physical buildings, but I have a commercial background too. I worked in commercial software before I got involved in New York City schools. But in New York City schools, like let's take today, for instance, if I were gonna go to a physical building, if I went to the Bronx from Brooklyn, it would take me an hour and a half to get to a school building. And then it's an hour and a half back. So that's 3 hours of my day just traveling to get somewhere on subway. With online right now, I'm able to, in one day, go from Brooklyn to Queens to the Bronx. So I can hit three boroughs in one day. I can reach more children. And I collaborate with somebody who was on your show previously, who has a huge network of engineers who work with me on the projects I'm currently involved in. And I'm able to bring biotech engineers, electrical engineers, amazing resources into all of these classrooms via online means. And those people wouldn't necessarily be schlepping around and going to schools, but now they're there. And it's so awesome.
Yeah, we have to name drop. Who was on my show?
Laura Allen Hart.
Okay, I have to look at that.
Show. She was talking about her company, RoboFun.
Okay.
She was on maybe a month and a half ago, I think. So yes. We're working on a project right now where we're bringing electrical engineering to elementary and middle school students via online. And it's funded by My Brother's Keeper, mm-hmm. which is an Obama program. And, you know, we're just, the work that we're doing, I'm so excited about it. And the children love it. And the parents are giving good feedback to the principals. It's everything that I hoped it would be. And it's happening because of online e-learning.
Let's talk about that. I'm going to come back to you, Karen, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Sarah Viscarondo. Sarah brings ballet and etiquette lessons in person to preschools around Silicon Valley and to the world via online lessons. Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
I am happy to have you. So Karen was just talking about e-learning and online learning, and you had to make a transition into online for these classes because of COVID. How was that for you, Sarah?
Oh, initially it was very difficult, and it was initially very difficult in part because of something Karen brought up, which is that parents didn't have the expectation that they were included. I saw a few people that were around me, competitors, I suppose, but competitors far away from me, so that in IRL times, I never would have met them, that figured it out quickly and realized that the sort of temporary future was in mommy and me classes, because it's not a permanent window. It's a temporary window, right? That you instruct, especially, you know, I was a preschool teacher for a bit. you instruct the parents on what they are to expect and what you expect of them in certain parameters, like please bring your child to school by 8:30, that kind of thing. But in the case of online learning, it happened, or COVID, it happened to us really quickly. So when the parents were overwhelmed, they really didn't have the bandwidth to also say, oh, okay, well, I'm going to help teach my child. I'm going to take a moment off of the workday that used to be 8.5 hours and now is 12 hours, to teach my child how to use a screen teacher. Because there's a great deal that teachers do in person that is very social and fleshy and, elements of presence, eye contact. Eye contact doesn't feel the same online. It can't. So what I ended up doing was, to borrow a phrase, I doubled down on teaching tools, because the way that I teach ballet and etiquette, I realized a while back that children remember things very, very acutely if they're in stories, because they sort of innately will identify with a character. Think of like Let It Go. They might not understand all of the feelings that are built into that, but boy, do they feel them. So I realized that the children would remember absolutely impossible things if a character was doing them. So I taught them, for example, the story of Swan Lake, and I tell them passé, which is a step. The word is French. They've got no reason to remember it. I mean, I know myself, it took me years to learn just the word passé, doing it again and again. And within a day, they'll remember remarkable things. They'll remember the character name, Odette, again, also an impossible thing for a 3 or 4 year old to remember. They'll remember the ballet step, and they'll remember the emotional context more than anything else. That is something that ballet has never had before. It's social emotional learning that is really not part of the way that ballet is usually taught. You have wonderful teachers who will tell you, we care about you. But ballet itself doesn't really have a lot of opportunities for people to explore or engage with that part of us. And if you know preschoolers and lower elementary children, you know that that's really on the surface. Their feelings are very raw and available. So when I went online, all of the tools that I really would always, utilize, the ways that you collect the children and you gather them and you get close to them with your big eyes and you tell them things and then they're in there with you and they're wrapped. I could barely use them. And they've got so many competing factors in the background, like you said, like children, like dogs, like noises. And it also takes a moment to learn the Zoom protocol. And you're in a classroom and all of a sudden the camera's on a child because there's a dog in the room. You're like, I've lost them.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, but let me just ask you that one of the things that changes during a global pandemic when everybody's in, I have to do certain things mode, other things may go by the wayside, like the arts or like ballet. I mean, especially etiquette. When we're trying to figure out, if we're going to survive to see tomorrow, our focus may not be on which fork to use.
So that's a wonderful point. And I'm of the mind that etiquette is a lot broader than how we typically perceive it. We are learning etiquette from the beginning of school education on because the nucleus of it is always being with others. So, for example, when I teach a ballet story, I choose Swan Lake as an example. In that story, a character apologizes correctly and says, thank you for apologizing. This is something that we just, respecting and recognizing an apology, or have understanding when it's time to have one. Those are elements that are really native to etiquette in every sense, and they're part of most ballet stories already. You don't have to add them; they're already there. So even though it does seem as though something like when we talk about dining etiquette that has really technically critical time frames to do it, like the holidays. Oh my gosh, we're going to eat with our relatives. But the social interactions are constant. They're always happening. And so children are always engaging with them, especially like between the ages of 3 and 10, which is kind of my sweet spot, that they're regularly trying to interface with, I had this feeling, how do I express it so that it isn't a wreck? How do I express this feeling so that I'm still working with the person that inspired that feeling? There's something that's very, very special about ballet to me, and that is that ballet technique, which is very, very difficult, is something that if you know how to look at it, you see it on the surface. You can't lie about it. You can't fake it. And etiquette is kind of like a manicured equivalent, because the idea about it, manners in general, is that you're acting in accordance with your values, right? So you see the relationship there. And you're right, in times of stress, boy, do those things seem to go by the wayside. But when they are enacted in times of stress, they are the most potent. So when we came into our lockdown phase, I'm in California, I had a lot of conversations with the children that had the ability to attend, because initially they had a hard time. And I said things like, today you have a thing to do that you're going to tell me about when you come back to me next week. And I'll ask you about it and we'll talk about it. I want you to go find someone who isn't smiling and say something to them that makes you both happy. Remember, everybody needs to know that you're there and that you care. And we, you know, just imagine it. I mean,
you do that well. You do that so well. You're like one of those, you know, I'm trying to think of those TV shows. You know what I mean? Like, you have that kid thing down pat. I love it. I love it. I like the whole tone, the whole attitude. But let me ask you a question, Sarah. Do you have a piano guy?
That is like, that's like the grail, Sharifa. Well, I'm a vendor. So I go from place to place to place. And I do this thing with music usually where I coordinate it to specific recordings. And, you know, I would love to share all of my things with you. Like I tell we dance through the ballet story. And then at the end of the ballet class, as review and reward, I use these puppets.
Grab some puppets. I want to go back to them, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Scott, the Piano Guy Houston, who teaches adults how to play the non-classical piano very quickly from the comfort of their own home on their own piano or keyboard without ongoing monthly payments. Good morning to the Piano Guy. How are you?
Hi, Sharifa. Thanks for having me on. It's been fun to listen to everyone so far.
You are so welcome. Is that a boat? Are you on a boat?
I am. And it's just, yeah, this is not very, I'm normally loving to do shows like this where I can sit at my piano and play a little bit for everyone, but I'm actually on a boat getting ready to go on about a week or week and a half offshore trip. So I'm, you caught me kind of remotely here, but that's fine. I'm thrilled to be here and hang out with you a little bit.
That's beautiful, because typically when I see something in the background, it's just a Zoom background. It's not an actual boat or what it really is. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool.
This one really is.
Yeah. You even have the little captain's little sweater thing on. That's kind of
cool. It's cold here. Yeah, we're in Annapolis, which is not, I'm actually from Indianapolis, Indiana, not Annapolis, Maryland. So yeah, it's chilly, but I'm very, very blessed to have a 50-foot sailboat that we're going to take down. It's a big, big, giant, beautiful boat that we're going to go out and try not to kill ourselves in the next week and a half and get down to the Virgin Islands. So
that's all.
Yeah, it ought to be a ton of fun. It's been interesting listening to the other. The common thread, I think, whether it was planned or not, from the other guests, is this kind of online learning thread, which is very much what kind of the milieu that I've swum and played in for the last 20, 25 years. But I had mine in particular is addressed more, well, not more, exclusively for adults, but it, as crazy as it sounds, I think we had an 8 or 9 year head start on this terribly sad COVID situation, but kind of had it all sitting there. And as the COVID situation came about, you know, we were kind of ready for the onslaught of people saying, look, I'm stuck in the house for the next 4 or 5 or 6 weeks. I've always wanted to learn how to play piano. It's been on my bucket list. I took some lessons as a kid. I've tried to take lessons as an adult, and it just hasn't worked very well. And so it's been really heartwarming to see the number of people, I think, that we've been able to kind of touch a little bit and get to a point where they're just having fun, you know, being musical, being a music maker, playing some tunes and not struggling and doing all that. So it's interesting that the whole online learning conversation from earlier, I just keep nodding my head because yes, 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 and yes on all of these things that I think the world is changing. And I think it's going to get less and less odd for people to do things that they used to want to do in person online. And if you can do that comfortably and do that in a like from a pedagogy standpoint, a very effective way. I think it's the way things are moving. So it's been kind of gratifying, I guess, to see the people coming into this and it just getting more and more normal to go in that route. So.
Yes, absolutely. Now, with the people that you are teaching and are learning mm-hmm. from you, one of the things that I found about doing this show on Zoom is prior to COVID, it would be very rare to get certain people on Zoom, you know, especially older people. They would say, no, I don't do technology, or I only right. meet offline. I only feel comfortable talking to people in person. And then all of a sudden now everybody's like, oh, okay, I have to do Zoom. Yes. So I can do Zoom. Was there a transition period for, you know, getting people adjusted to learning the piano online?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you say that, and I'm probably going to show our age or our, you know, we've been at this 20, 25 years. And, you know, it started with me writing a book. And I mean, from kind of a marketing standpoint, writing a book, I was doing live workshops, but then it turned into the TV show. We had anybody that's not aware, I had a TV show on public television for 14 seasons called The Piano Guy. And kind of puffed my chest out, but we won 6 Emmy Awards through the run of that
Congratulations.
Show.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was a nice big run. It was really, we finished with about 185 episodes, and it was a big, nice piece of body of work. And then so while we were doing that, you know, we were old enough, we were starting selling things and instructional material on VHS tapes, right? And mm-hmm. then had the big move to put them onto, you know, and it was on CDs at that point, audio CDs. And then we, you know, the big giant move to take everything to DVDs, you know, oh my word, a DVD. So the whole process over a couple of years of moving that into, and then slowly waiting from, oh my word, now things are starting to get online. And it was always from a teacher standpoint, when I put my teacher hat on, and I'm way out in left field from a traditional piano teacher in that I went about it saying, look, let's look at the positives and negatives of all these different learning styles. There are some absolutely great reasons that people want to sit in a private lesson once a week, but then there's a lot of them that are not, you know, happy to do that. Like they don't want to get in the car and drive and go sit with another adult and potentially embarrass themselves and drop 25 or 35 bucks a week. And, you know, they didn't practice. It's all these things that people have experienced if they've ever taken piano lessons. I said, look, I think we can kind of take the best of all these different modalities and try to build this better mousetrap that's really a student-centric model instead of a teacher-centric model. And that involved having the lessons available for someone 24/7, you know, having materials that they needed, the ability to stop and restart and replay lessons, which you can't do in a live piano lesson. So there are a lot of things I think we really improved upon. The downside of online lessons, I think, is the individual feedback, the live one-on-one feedback. So the closest we came to that is, and it's a big part of our lessons that, by the way, all of this I'm talking about, this lesson program lives at pianoinaflash.com. But as part of that, you know, we offer anybody, any students we have worldwide can get within 24 hours feedback directly from me. And I'll actually shoot video to answer questions or from, I've got some staff now doing it, frankly, but yeah. So
you're on the boat.
You can't do everything. Funny you should say that, Sharif. I've actually got a keyboard right down here. I'm not kidding you. We've got one on the boat, and we shoot video. We've got a satellite. I can do it, actually. It's not live, but yeah, I'll shoot videos and answer questions, whether I'm on the water or not. So it's been the ability. I guess that gets back to wrap this up. It is amazing. I wanted to do that for a couple of years before the technology got to the point where, or maybe not the technology, but the online video, what just wasn't ubiquitous. And it shocks everybody to think of the short frame, but you know, 6-7 years ago, there was a significant portion of people that didn't have good enough online video to really make this a viable effort. And now that it really has, and that leads into your original question of the everyone being on Zoom, now it is ubiquitous enough. I think we've really, really got an appropriate, super effective from an educational standpoint way to get people, adults, not kids, but to get adults piano education they want in a really effective way in a super cost-effective manner. So
We're going to find out more about that. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Adriana Fuentes Diaz. She has spent the last 6 months of the pandemic shut down in Mexico, launching a new blog on home decoration tips, created a new venture with two other women to support workplace wellness in companies and organizations, worked with former colleagues to create a wellness podcast for the Venezuelan market, and she published her first book, When Strong Women Speak, Strong Women Listen. Good morning, Adriana. How are you?
Fine, great. So happy to be here with you and with all the guests.
Thank you. Are you tired? Because I read your bio and that made me tired. I was like, you have so much going on. I was like, I'm tired for you.
Oh, no, not really. Like Scott just said before, you know, I think we need to start doing things differently. I was in the corporate world for like more than 50 years working in a big companies. And the last year, like around October and November, I just decided to quit. I was working in an oil and gas company and a big oil and gas company, but I was not happy at all, you know, traveling around all Latin America, to the US. I have a teenager son. I never have time for him. So I was like, kind of, you know, tired to be in this corporate world and not doing what I really wanted to do. So yeah, I decided to quit. And then with the pandemic, I just started doing my decoration blog. This is one of the things that I'm passionate about. I love decoration. And week by week, I just do like, you know, tips to, with the low budget, how to you can decorate your home or your garden or your office. Then I create this amazing program with two Colombian girls or ladies about how we can have a balance between work, family, and personal life. So it's been, thank God, very successful. And my most important project was my book, my first book about a woman, as you call it, when and the name of the book is When a Strong Woman Speaks, Strong Woman Listen. And it's a beautiful project, beautiful book. The objective of this book is two things. One is like to help other women to be motivated and inspiring to achieve all their goals and dreams. And the second one, maybe in US and in other countries or Canada, doesn't happen the same than here in Latin America. Unfortunately, women, we don't help too much each other, unfortunately. So I did a lot of research in our countries, and I think it's very important starting as soon as possible to learn more about each other, to help more each other, to support more, to encourage more each other. So this book talks about this and how important it is to start doing something right now to leave, you know, a better world to the next generation of women and young women. So yeah, I love this book. It's been very successful since 3 months ago that I launched, and now I'm writing the second book. So I've been very busy and so happy. Maybe I'm not making the same money working in a big companies, but I'm more happy for sure than work in a big company. So yeah, I just changed completely my professional life. But now I'm doing a lot of more projects, but I'm passionate about it. And yeah, I think I'm more happy in all ways.
You seem happy. You definitely seem happy. Dr. Karen, I think the theme that comes through the show today is the whole e-learning aspect. I think one way or another, we've all made that shift to e-learning. So when you listen to the panelists, what are some of the thoughts that come to mind?
Well, Scott mentioned adults going online to learn how to play piano for the first time. And I thought, oh, that's my friend. She played flute forever in a day. And now that she was locked away with her husband, she said, I want to learn how to play piano. So she's been doing that online. So I totally vibe with that. And then with Sarah, I was trying to figure out when I was listening to what you had to say about online, if it was I hear what you're saying that if you're not in person with children, it can be harder to connect with them. But then, you know, I was thinking about what children tell me when they're online. They say that a lot of them like learning online. They say that they're able to concentrate more when they're not distracted by things that go on in the classroom, or maybe they're not getting bullied. But what they tell me is that they miss their friends. So that social emotional aspect that you're talking about is huge. And you know, the thing about online, when you're looking into the camera for Zoom, you're you know, your eyes are glued there, you're not moving very much. And for me, I think what would be valuable for somebody like you to bring into something that I do is to get the children moving and you know, as much as you can within that online space. So there's something physical going on. You know, I feel like the physical affects the mental, and you need that whole holistic approach to education to make strong minded and strong bodied children. Am I making sense, Sarah? I don't know.
Completely. It's often neglected because this and this are very, they're potent and they're the first thing that we lead with. This is how we're paying attention and we're thinking and we're listening and integrating the body. At first it's got awkwardness as I feel at the beginning of my adventure with Zoom. I had to adapt to a lot of elements that no one could have predicted. I had to talk about personal safety, whereas before I just took care of it. So when you said that, you know, some children say that their focus is greater. I feel like that's something that I've slowly been able to cultivate with my students. But what I've been able to definitely observably see is that they have to do things like take charge of their space, right? Oh, I see a little car on the floor, Abira. Would you please push that car off the floor so there's no chance that you'll step on it when we're running and jumping? Okay. So all of the liability is... it's like that all of a sudden I'm like this IT person of liability.
Yes, you got to make sure there's nothing there for them to fall on or anything like that.
But they do when they are physical, like demonstrate different levels of clarity. Mm-hmm. So it's clearly a vitamin in the process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So Adriana, when you hear Sarah and Karen speak about what they're passionate about, which is online learning, and you're passionate about helping women, what are some of your thoughts?
Wonderful, because, you know, so many people ask me, if I was not afraid to leave, you know, that company, is the big company, and just, you know, like go to new adventure and do things that I love it and I was passionate about it. And my answer was always like, no, I'm not afraid. First of all, I believe in myself, and that's the most important thing. I think we always need to believe in ourselves. And second, it's never too late to start doing something new, and especially if you love about it. So I was really focused in what I wanted to do. I still have so many projects that I want to work. And I think it's never too late, no matter, you know, like what is your age, what do you do for a living? So I think it's great that they're doing that. We need to change all the time with this, you know, new era and with all crazy things that we are living. So I'm just feel so proud of them because, you know, all the women, I mean, writing this book, my inspiration was all the women that, you know, they really push so hard to achieve their goals or dreams. So I think it's great. And we have to do that no matter what.
Can I connect to that, Sharifa?
Absolutely.
A large component of our electrical engineering program is to identify parents who are interested in becoming coaches. So we do our thing live and we have coaches who work with the children. And one of the things that we've been doing is developing parents to be the new coaches. So, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, a lot of them are women, women power, woohoo! So, I see them in the background working with their children. A lot of them come forward and say, I'm interested in being a coach. And these are women who may not have any kind of engineering background or might not have been into it in school, but there's something about it. A lot of them will tell me that they connect it with it because it makes them closer to their children when they're doing something that their children are doing. And we have been successful in giving women new careers where they went from maybe not making a good income or no income at all to coming into our program and now they're coaching children online. So yes, women can change up careers. You know, women who might not have thought of doing something like this, and yet here they are. And for me, this is an exciting opportunity because I can reach more parents who never saw what we were doing. And now they see it and they see, you know, the women see women like them and say, hey, I could do that too. Why not? You know, and I say, come learn, make money. You know, it's not all about the money, honey. I really love educating children, but if you don't have money, then, you know, children go hungry, nothing gets done.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to go over to Sir Amazing because we're talking about women. We're talking about being passionate women, but it's not just women, men as well, because that's your focus, is being your own hero, whether you're a man, woman, whatever. Sir Amazing, let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, I'm so interested to hear from everyone, because right now I'm actually in my second year for my master's degree in creativity, change, and leadership. A year ago, I was a mentor, tutor, working in multiple schools in the city of Buffalo and understanding the dynamics of, there were not a lot of resources that were empowering students. I'm huge on, as I'm studying creativity, teaching people how to be creative and solve their own issues, looking internally, as opposed to this is the way to do it. And a lot of my, I'm very passionate about that in itself, right? Like, that's why the book is called Everyone Needs a Hero, Why Can't It Be You? And I think it starts really in a lot of schools, because so many of us are conditioned to look at things a certain way, or this isn't how you handle it, and especially me, which ties to just my identity as African-American man. I'm currently working on a documentary on healthy masculinity, and it's kind of sprung into my master's, where it's now, how is creativity education connected to my identity? How is the different biases from media, family, religion, expectations that people put on me as a Black man, or me just as a person, as a human in general, that actually are inhibiting any type of success, inhibits somebody from having a positive self-image, inhibits somebody from really maximizing their potential. So I'm very intrigued, because in part of my learning and understanding that people learn differently, there's simple things that we can do from our environment, like looking at Sarah's screen. I love your book collection. I love seeing that. You're welcome. But just having your shades open can help you learn better. Moving around, which is, I'm very curious. I've got a 15-year-old little sister, 10-year-old little brother, got nieces and nephews. So a lot of people I'm connected to, mentees that are in this virtual space right now. And I'm like, I'm thankful that I don't have to be a high school student or middle school student during these times, because I know the kind of student I was, which I had a great reputation with some. I was president of my class as a senior, but there were some teachers in high school that didn't necessarily like me because I didn't want to sit in one space. That's not how I learned. I got to get up sometimes and go to the trash can, because I've already grasped the concept that you were teaching. Everybody else is still catching up. And it reminds me of, I've got a super artistic niece, and Nova is six. And I was asking her mom, I'm like, how is she doing with Zoom? And she's like, oh, she goes all around the house. Every different class or every different subject, she's in a different spot in the house. I'm like, I knew it. Because sitting in one space is just not realistic. And
I like that. We went in a different direction, because I was kind of interested, even though we went back to the online learning, when you started talking about the healthy masculinity. And then I saw Scott it kind of piqued his interest. So I wanted to stay there for a minute. Scott, did you have any thoughts? Because we asked about the women, but then you were like, okay.
No, yeah. And I agree with that. It's an interesting thing in my little world of doing, you know, music, that I think men find a good outlet that they maybe didn't know they had, and they get in touch with a little more less traditionally masculine feelings, and you know, sit and they're playing and they're actually being creative. And Sir Amazing, when you're talking about creativity, that's why I'm shaking my head thinking, you know, there's an interesting point about all this push for people doing it alone or in their home. And there's some negative to that, because you're not all together and you're not all getting the physical. But I'm telling you, there's some positive too, because you've got this free space by yourself to be exploring things that you probably wouldn't explore around other adults. You know, men are uptight about doing that in front of them. Actually, women, it's part of that issue of like sitting face to face with a teacher sometimes. It's intimidating as an adult to be sitting with another adult, you know, doing that. And you're like, oh God, here I am sounding like, you know, playing some dumb childlike thing. There's two sides of that coin. There's some down that you're not with everybody, but boy, there's a ton of up that you're in there and you're like, you know what, the heck with it. No one's listening to me. I can't play a wrong note, right? You know, I do the stuff we do with Piano on a Flash. It's a lot of improvisational stuff. And I say, look, you know, there's no right or wrong notes. Some of them just sound a little bit better than others. And you've just got to sit and do that. And explore, and that's by its very nature what improvisation is. And I think that we're finding a kind of an explosion of that, and particularly with men that would normally be kind of uptight about doing that in front of anybody. Like, ooh, I don't want to play in front of somebody, you know. And men, like, they're in their own room with their headphones on, they're kicking it, and it's fun. It's fun to see that, and it's fun to see the production we get. And so I think I would encourage everybody on a view from 10,000 feet to not just look at the aloneness of being alone as necessarily a negative. I think there's some real positives from it.
And your lens of healthy masculinity sounds like it rhymes a lot with strong women talk, strong women listen. Because what I hear in both of them is it's not a one-way street. You know, a lot of the time when we talk about encouraging other people, we're telling them to do something that's like, I don't know, speak your truth or something like that. But that's like a one-way street. That's kind of like, in my mind, it's on the educational arc, it's like where junior high is. Like, you're figuring out you so that you can be in the world. And the next step is practicing being in the world. So it really seems like you two have connecting points.
Absolutely. It seems to be a theme. What were your thoughts, Adriana, on what Sarah had to say?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I think this book, I wrote it for women, actually, no matter what, my same point of view is like, no matter where, when, if you want to change your life, if you want to change your professional career, you can do it. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a man, if you're young, if you're not too young. The important is to have always the courage and, you know, like try to do something new, something that you really love about it, passionate about it. I'm really interested about piano lessons with Scott now. So I will be more than happy to contact you because this is one of my lists that I really wanted to learn. So yeah, why not? It's never too late to, you know, to start doing new things and to learn new things. So even like my son asked me, like, I always was passionate about reading, but this is my first writing. And I'm also writing the second book already. And even like my son asked me, like, oh, I didn't know you know how to write. And I told him, like, no, I don't know how to write. I'm learning how to write. I'm like 45 years old, you know, but it's always, you know, I'm so happy. I'm enjoying so much this part of my life in my 45 years. And yeah, it's just been so enjoyable and great.
Lifelong learning is a win in any area. And I think that's what keeps us all alive, you know.
It's also it's interesting that there are these ways, like, because we're a bunch of teachers, right? Mm-hmm. There are these ways that you motivate the continuation of learning, because starting is wonderful, but starting is just starting. And there are all of these ways that you can access, you know, help other students, help the children that are coming to you or the adults, that they have the opportunity to see all of the ways that this is valuable to them. You know, I began a little blog when I started going online because I realized that there were all of these things that were happening in their homes that I didn't have any access to. And it turned into something really different. Where, you know, I mentioned I teach the ballet stories. There are all of these things inside of the ballet stories, not just manners and steps, but also things like, I know I sound silly, but engineering. So I, you know,
Sound silly to Dr. Karen. Dr. Karen was rooting for you right there. I saw her rooting for you.
Like, you know, I have things like I just taught my favorite ballets, Don Quixote by Little Minkus. And mm-hmm. In that there's a windmill, right? So I have a little craft that is make a windmill out of paper. This is incredibly simple, but it addresses the subject of wind. And I do a little exercise with the children in the class where I'm like, let's talk about how wind and energy have a relationship. You're going to blow into your hand 20 times. Is anyone tired? It's like there's so many ways, you know, and it feels like there's a real creative spark to teachers talking about how the access points are vital, you know, how you lure and keep, if that makes sense.
Dr. You know, Kim. What we do, when I mention engineering, you might think, oh, engineering, that could be not super fun or creative, but what we do is very creative. So, you know, Sir Amazing, you're talking about creativity. I think that's how we lure children in. So I don't know if everybody can see this, but we have an entire book where children are building circuits, and we have a lead character whose name is Adam, and he tells the children all about how where electricity comes from, and takes them through all of the different steps of building, you know, some really awesome things. So it, some people might look at this and say, oh, this is artsy, craftsy, but this is a airplane that really works if I switch it on, but it won't right now. The propeller will spin, it'll vibrate, and it can actually go across the desk. And so children are having fun and they're learning the principles of engineering. And I just love it. I'm a kid myself, so I like working with kids. I like seeing how they riff off what we do. And I learn from them. They show me things sometimes and I'm like, wow. Like this whole airport project that we're doing right now, was started by a child who was working with his mother, and we were doing flat propeller things. And he said, why don't we build an entire airport? And I'm like, cool, we can do that. I can figure out how to do all of that. And I won't show you everything, but we have a tower with a blinking light. We have an airplane hangar that has an alarm that goes off when the airplane's leaving the hangar. It's super creative. It's super fun. And I love integrating the arts into STEM and everything that we do with engineering.
We have to talk. That's amazing. It's like there's always another step you could take. It's incredible. Like there's no such thing as a fully fleshed out idea.
No, there never is. And you know, our next project might be music, the engineering of music. So how all of that happens in studio.
Oh my God, Scott, are you listening?
What did you say? I'm sorry.
I said, yes, oh my God, Scott, listening. Are you listening?
So Scott, we were, this summer, I was piloting it a little bit to see how it flew with children. We were producing with GarageBand, which is super, it's a super simple way to get into music with kids and have them start to create their own songs. And there's like so many directions that you can go in a STEM world. It's not just this like, oh my God, boring. Got to do math, got to learn all of these scientific things. It's super creative because STEM is also STEAM. A is art and design. Everything comes together to make, you know, beautiful creations.
Yes. So amazing. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I definitely have a rebuttal to that, which I think is super cool that you shared that with us. One of the things that I'm a bookie. There's like 5 books that sleep next to me every night. I get new books in the mail every day. And a lot of my research and a lot of my studies have shown, not from a religious aspect, but creating is actually spiritual. Like it's part of us. Like that's what we were made to do. And when I look at this, and I've stated this, what I learned this year through COVID is like, not to get religious, but in Genesis, when it says, let us make man in our own image, it was never physical. It was mental, it was to create, and that's what we do. And I think everybody in this, I was kind of painting my back, everybody in this Zoom is, right? Like, I'm like, everybody in
this Zoom. I didn't mean to laugh at your pain, but I'm just saying, it's like all of a sudden, you sound like a 72-year-old man, you know what I mean? Like, my back hurts.
They tell me I'm an old soul sometimes, so I don't know, maybe it comes and goes. But I think everyone in this Zoom, in your own way, in our own way, is helping people create their own story. Like when you write a blog, I always say, no one could tell your story better than you. Providing a voice to women, like women do need that empowerment because there's so many different other messages. Our students from an e-learning aspect, understanding there are other ways to learn and take those principles and apply them because it's not gonna be the same for everyone. The piano, teaching people how to play the piano. I'm a huge fan of Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder, understanding that, yeah, as men, we don't really feel comfortable often being vulnerable. That's just right. A reality of society and how things have been panned out. Sharifa, you got us all here so everybody could tell their story and connect. So I think it's essential that, especially during this time, because who knows how long we're gonna be in this pandemic. It may be a year or two, to make sure that we're still empowering people, we're still allowing spaces for us to be innovative and creative during this time. Because when we do bounce back, if you have the right plans and the right tools, you could bounce back. You could hit the ground running like Jordan, like LeBron, like who's taking flight for real.
But a lot of people are. A lot of companies are. When you look at Zoom, whose stock went up, you know, hundreds of percentage when you look at, and I tell people, if not for COVID, you know, it was unfortunate, but I don't believe I would have ever had the ability to have 5 guests per day, every day of the week for the last 7 months.
Absolutely, I agree with that. Absolutely. Yeah.
But people are changing, you know, so it's more acceptable now. And what I've seen, and they say that more millionaires are made during a recession than any other time. And so what we're in right now is you're forcing people to be creative. Like you said, Sir Amazing, people are being forced to use their other abilities because they may have become comfortable before and now they have to do it. But I remember I made this post on Facebook where it said, if you are not using this time to better yourself, then you are missing out on an opportunity of a lifetime. But I thought this meme was so wonderful, right? But do you know, out of all the posts I ever make, and I make some very interesting posts, I might say, this post got like the most, what's the word for it? Like, people pushed back. It got the most pushback because people said, well, Sharifa, you know, some people have been working for 30 years. They just want to veg on the couch, you know, and they gave me all these reasons, you know, maybe they're not using this time and that's okay. And I was like, wow, I didn't even think that comment was that deep, but use this time, use this potential and don't let it go.
The universe has kind of opened up some space for millions of people that didn't have that space 6 months ago. And it's a terribly tragic thing and you don't want to make light of it, but yeah, I'm with you. It's like, for goodness sake, everyone, the door opened. Take this time you've got that you may not have been able to take before and create something new. Do what we do. Sir Amazing, you said it perfectly. I mean, the human condition is to create. It's not to regurgitate, it's not to memorize, it's not to go through the motions and do something robotic. It's to be creative. And whether that's in dance or art or writing or, you know, entrepreneurial endeavors, whatever it is, there's the elevator door has opened up for a few months. And I pray that everyone steps in and takes advantage of that time, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we are going to start with you, Adriana.
Oh, but let me show you the book. This is the book, When Strong Women Speak, Strong Women Listen. Actually, the cover, it says from some very famous artists, Mexican artists. So it's available in Amazon. The second book will be able in January, talking about the importance of how to communicate with each other. That I think it's very important. And the third book that I'm also, Esther, will start soon, will talk about leadership. So how important it is to have leadership skills always in life. And yeah, my first goal with this book is to try to motivate all the people, and not just women, everybody in the world to achieve and dream big. That is very important. Dream big and achieve all their goals.
Absolutely. Scott, the piano guy, Houston, what do you have for us?
I would just say anybody that has ever wanted to learn to play piano as an adult, you absolutely can do it. It's never too late to start. We've been doing it for 25 years. It's a completely doable thing for someone that wants to do that. We've kind of built a better mousetrap for adults to be able to accomplish this lifelong knock something off your bucket list item, which is, I just want to sit down and have some fun. So I would encourage everyone to realize that you can play piano. And if you'd like to join me, you can find everything we do at pianoinaflash.com.
Okay, so if we go to pianoinaflash.com, do we already have to have purchased our own piano?
No, actually we don't offer pianos, but you can use a keyboard. You can use we've got information about all that. Yeah, I actually am not a piano dealer by any means, but yeah, it's not difficult in the world that we live in now. It's not difficult to acquire a keyboard. There's plenty of great instruments that are very cost effective. And there's a free intro course, Sharifa, if you want to. In fact, it's perfect timing. I don't know, this will get recorded and it won't happen later, but for Christmas season coming up, the free intro course will teach you a really hip version of a Christmas carol. You'll sound pretty jazzy. So.
Oh, that is so cool. Yeah, I took piano as a kid, but I get easily distracted. I took piano, ballet. My mom was always trying to improve my life. And look at where I turned out. So amazing.
So I got three things. The first thing is I want to show this book as well. Everyone needs a hero. Why Can't It Be You? It's available on Amazon. My second note is to everybody tuned in. I think in a different way, everyone said this same thing, that there are 7.8 billion people on the planet, but there's only one you, one person with your vision, one person with your soul, one person with your capabilities. And then my third and final thing is I want to encourage people to text the word motivator in all caps to 21,000. When you text motivator to 21,000, a link will come. You'll have all my information, which you can get a copy of Everyone Needs a Hero. But you also can download, I have a free quote ebook that I really just want to share with as many people as possible. And thank you for having me on here, and thank you for listening.
You are so welcome. Sarah, what do you have for us?
Oh, thank you. I think this has been such a delight. I'm putting my contact information in the chat so that the other panelists can reach out to me for anything. You guys are lovely. I hope that I know that the people that are watching are probably not as young as my usual teaching demographic, but I hope that no matter what you took from what I said, that you can go out and find someone who could be lifted by your presence, because all of us can do that. And if you are interested, or if you have a child you know who's interested, I'm offering a free ballet class on Eventbrite, a Halloween-themed ballet class tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in the morning. It's on the subject of Giselle, the ballet Giselle, which is technically a ghost story, so it's appropriate. And it's a 30-minute ballet class where we learn the story, multiple steps, and then there is a coloring book that is free. And you can see all about these things on either my Instagram or my website, of course, which is academyofballetandetiquette.com. And I hope you do something to make your day better by making someone else's day better.
No, you're just so adorable. Dr. Karen, what do you think of the panel?
Amazing. Everybody's amazing.
That's the word of the day. It's so it amazing.
Is. It is. It's an amazing day. Wow. So, Sir Amazing, I wish I had heard more about your book, Everyone Needs a Hero, because, I really connect with that, too. And I think about all of the children that we're reaching online right now with our program, and the children that we'll be reaching in the future, et cetera, et cetera. I only expect that our program will grow. And so for, the people out there who are listening and might have friends who are looking for something to do, maybe to express your creativity while you're at home, or maybe you're underemployed, not employed, but you have some amazing talent that you want to offer to children, get in touch with me, because there, are so many things that we're doing with the program. As I said, there's more than one aspect to STEM and engineering. And our program is called Make Everything Possible. And, I really believe that if we all come together, all of us, everybody on this panel is so talented. And so if if we all work together and collaborate together, amazing, beautiful things happen. So, Sir Amazing, it's not just one person from the universe. I think, if you talk about God, I don't really talk about God, but if you think about the higher power, I think the higher power is like all of us together, coming together and sharing our gifts with each other. And being those heroes. And, that's where everything possible happens.
Absolutely. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I enjoyed it. I love finding that theme. And today's theme seemed to be online learning. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching the show from the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean you are not still important. We still need your support. We still need you to go ahead and share this show, because your friends need this information. How do we know? They might be starting to go into online learning and want to do more things online. Maybe they want to learn ballet. Maybe they want to learn piano. Maybe they want to learn engineering. Maybe they want to learn how to be a strong woman, or maybe they just need to believe that they are their own hero. So go ahead and share this show. Go ahead and contact our guests. Visit their websites. Follow them on social media. Send them a message. And when you reach out to them, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. And if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to pick up your tickets to the New Year, New You 2-day teleconference on December 29th and 30th, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asharifa.com. Until Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Bye-bye.